Let's get our Bibles. Let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6 tonight. Galatians 6. While you're turning there, let's remember all of those that are out of town and sick. And as a pastor, it's like I hate summer coming along because everybody goes on vacation. And then if it's not one thing, it's another thing. It's just always something. It's holidays and whatever. So you just take it and go. But I know the Browns are out of town. Pray for the Worths. They're out of town tonight. She has a hospital doctor's appointment tomorrow. Pray for her. Keep her in your prayers. Sister Stacy is sick tonight. I'm going to pray for her as well. Amen. Praise God. Well, glory. Galatians chapter number 6. Let's just read one verse. Verse number 9. The Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Praise God. And for just a few minutes of time tonight, I want to preach to help your faith. Don't be weary in well-doing. Amen. Now, if you're not well-doing, you need to maybe not be weary, but you need to be worried. But if you're well-doing, if you're doing well, don't be weary in it. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. God, we love you. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord Jesus, for your many blessings, God, and for your word. Your word is so rich and so full, God, able to help us in our day-to-day journey, directing our paths, Lord Jesus, helping us. I pray, God, tonight that you would open up your word and that you would speak to us today. God, minister in a mighty way, Lord God, and we'll be quick to give you the glory and the honor in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. And God bless you. Amen. For all of you, be seated as well. But amen. For all of those that are, amen, hot-natured, it's hot in here. For all of you that are cold-natured, feels pretty good, huh? That's because we got an AC that went out. And so we'll make sure that we get that fixed by Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be weary. And Paul told the church there in Galatia, and I could read a little bit more. First of all, he said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have the opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Praise God. Want to talk to you about something tonight that we all have need of, but nobody wants to ask for it. And that is patience. Afraid to ask for patience because the trying of your faith worketh patience. I understand I need patience, but I will patiently wait for it. I am not looking forward to everything that happens so that I can obtain patience. But there is something that is very similar to patience that if we're not careful, we will use them to a degree or in a degree simultaneously or synonymously. And that is the word faith. Amen. To have faith and to have patience. Because we feel like maybe having faith just simply means that we just need to be patient. I would tell you tonight that maybe they are siblings or maybe they are cousins. they are closely related one to another, but they do have different meanings and very different meanings. And they are both extremely important in your Christian walk. We know that the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. I could submit to you tonight and go through scripture and prove to you that there is not just one faith, but in reality there is two to three different faiths. Number one, there is the faith of salvation. The Bible says that Jesus would make the comment that when the Son of Man would return, would he find faith upon the earth? And that faith would be just the continual faith of believing. Amen. Faith in God that he can do all things. And then there is the gift of faith, if you would allow me to say it like that. Even though that the Bible does not call it the gift of faith, but just simply calls it faith. He said that there was unto one was given unto one, amen, a word of wisdom. And we call that the gift of the word of wisdom. Or there unto another was a word of knowledge, but of the same spirit. To one there was the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation and the gift of discerning of spirits. But he just simply said in those nine that, and to another, faith. Praise God. And so you must have faith. You've got to have faith in God. You must believe that he is. You have to have faith, for without it you can't please God. But you've also got to have saving faith, which is unto salvation. You've got to have salvational faith. Praise God. And so when somebody would tell you that not everybody has the gift of the word of knowledge, or not everybody has the gift of discerning of spirits, and so not everybody has the gift of faith, but I would tell you today that you still have to have faith. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. They are different things, but there is also another thing called patience. And we have to have patience. As a matter of fact, Peter said that we are to add to our faith different things. And one of those things is to add patience unto us. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. May not be just the simple fact that your patience is growing, but you need to be disciplined enough to practice patience in your life. That when you don't get everything that you want, or you don't get everything that you asked for at that moment in time, amen, that you can be disciplined enough to accept it and to have patience for it. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 12 says that you be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience to be able to inherit the promises. Amen. So he says that it's going to take faith and it's going to take patience. You've got to have both of them if you're going to inherit the promises. Let me break it down a little bit for you tonight for a better understanding. I would tell you that faith looks forward to, while patience just holds steadily with. Faith says God promised. Patience says I'm still standing on that promise. Faith receives the vision. Patience survives the delay. Faith is believing that God can. Patience is refusing to quit believing until he does. Faith takes God at his word. Patience stays with God when the calendar seems to contradict his word. Faith believes that God will do it. Patience waits for God to do it. Faith deals with certainty. patience deals with time. Faith is confidence in God's word, in that God is able. God cannot lie. God will keep his promises. Faith receives the promises before it can be seen, or it can see the fulfillment. On the other hand, patience is just simply steadfast endurance while waiting for that promise. Abraham believed, and he waited 25 years for the promise. Every year that passed, patience said, I still believe, I still trust, I will not quit, and I will not abandon what God said. Amen. Faith said, I'm going to get up and keep walking. Patience says, and if it doesn't happen today, I'm just going to keep on believing. Praise God. Patience is faith stretched across time. Praise God. Praise God. But in the day and in the age that we live in today, we are not strong in that area. We may be strong in faith, but we're not so strong when it comes to patience. Our great-grandparents used to travel by horse and buggy, and we travel by jet thousands of miles within just a few hours. We cross time zones just as casually as our grandparents crossed the street. And this is the age of fast food, instant communication, high-pressure business, and forced produce that is urged to swift maturity, picked today in California, sold tomorrow in Japan. But I want you to know that this, in what we call the spiritual world, in the church, and when we come to deal with God, is on a total different, in a total different arena. It's not of the same, because God refuses to be hurried. He has always taken his time. We cannot speed up the rotation of the earth, and we cannot hurry the planet around the sun. We cannot shorten the day, amen, or alter the mathematical alterations of day and night. We can shorten our work week, but we cannot shorten God's week. Praise God. That's just the way that it is. It is set. It is established. And God is who he is. Amen. And he's going to be who he always was. He changes not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. Amen, amen. Let me give you some examples as we push this thing off tonight. Amen. That God is never in a hurry, even though humanity often seems to be in a hurry. Can I remind you that Noah worked on a boat with the promise of rain coming, but yet it did not rain for 100 years. Noah continued to preach righteousness while seeing no evidence of rain, preached about rain to come, and whereas some may have believed in the early onset, lost the faith because of the lack of patience later on and gave up. But the rain did come. It just didn't come when everybody thought that it should have come. Abraham received the promise of children, amen, but he waited 25 years before that promise was fulfilled. Delays in God's plans does not constitute denial. Amen, of God's promise. Joseph waited 13 years from the time that he was sold into slavery until he became the ruler. During those 13 years of promise, he went to the pit. He was sold into slavery. He was false accused, and he was put into prison. Amen, but yet he came out, and the promise was fulfilled. Amen. Israel waited at minimum for 80 years for a deliverer to being in bondage for over 400 years. Somewhere in it all, they began to cry out for a deliverer. We know that Moses was born. Amen. And that he was 40 years old when he thought that he was ready to do the will of God. But God sent him to the backside of a desert for 40 years. And at 80 years of age, he came back. Amen. And he was able to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt at that time. Moses may have thought that he was ready at 40, but God said, I'm going to let you mature for 40 more before we put you into play. David wandered around for 15 years from the time that he was anointed to be the king until he became the king. His anointing came long before God's appointment came. Caleb waited for 45 long years before he got his promise. When Moses told him that he could have Kadesh Barnea, 45 years later, Joshua was divvying out the land, and Caleb said, that one is mine. I'm still as strong. I still believe. And he held patience all the way unto the end. He just simply never quit believing. He kept on believing. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord here tonight. Praise God. Amen. We have faith. Amen. That the coming of the Lord will happen. Amen. And Jesus said, when I come, shall I find faith? Are there still going to be people that believe that the coming of the Lord is still going to happen? Amen. Hebrews, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, that he that shall come and will not tarry. There is going to come a time when it is going to happen. But there's a lot of people that have given up on it. Some have espoused false doctrine and saying that he has already came. Others just quit believing completely and walked away from him. But I'm here to tell you today that whether you believe or you don't believe is not going to prevent the coming of the Lord from happening. He is going to come. Whether he comes in our day and time or whether he comes in some future day and time. Amen. He is going to come. Praise God. But let's get a little bit more personal here, because there is a God that loves his people, and there is a God, amen, that considers his people the very apple of his eye. There is a God that cares for you. In fact, he would say, cast all of your cares upon him, because that he cares for you. Amen. One writer would say that we love him because that he first loved us. We cannot understand how or why that a man would give his life for another man. And behold, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We don't understand why a man that was so perfect in all of his ways, God manifest in the flesh, would come and dwell amongst us. For people that despise him, people that could not stand him, people that were yet to be that would not stand him, people that would curse him and abuse him, people that would never believe on him, but yet whether they believe or they don't believe, whether they have accepted or not accepted, whether they've been saved or they're still sinners, I want you to know that God loves every individual. Praise God. There's a lot of things that he despises. There's a lot of things that he hates, but I want you to know that the rankest sinner, amen, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. Amen. That means the fornicator. That means, amen, the worst sinner that you could possibly think of. God said, I'm not willing that any would be able to perish. And so while you were unlovable and unloving, there was a God that began to deal with your heart, and he began to draw you unto him. Amen. When you resisted the hand of
of God. He continued to draw you. When you walked away from him, amen, he continued to deal with you. When you were unfaithful to him, he still continued to let you feel him. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. That's why the drunk on the bar stool on Friday night can sit there and cry tears. Not necessarily because that he's drunk, but because that the Spirit of God has a way of moving upon their heart. And whatever they're seeking for in the bottle, they'll walk out of that bar and they'll think to themselves, I still haven't found it. And you know what they'll do? They'll begin to say, if there's a God in heaven, would you hear me tonight? Would you show me that you love me? I want you to know that God is more than ready. He is capable and able, amen, to come down to them. People that have never heard of him. People that have never known him. People that don't know what to do. The Spirit of God begins to lead them and draw them. And what happens? They run across you and I, and we witness to them. They run across our name in the phone book, or they drive by the church and just feel compelled to come in. God does not have barriers, and he is not able to reach. Is the hand of God too short that he cannot reach? Is his power too lax that he cannot do it? Amen. You and I have the faith to know that no matter where they are, no matter what they're going through, no matter who they are, what their last name is, what their jail record is, felon or non-felon, there is a God that loves, that died for them, and that is willing to forgive them of their sins and to save them. It's the promise of salvation, the promise of salvation, and he is not slack concerning his promise, for that some men count slackness, but is just and able to forgive us of all of our sins. Praise God. I remember sitting in church, born and raised in church, didn't get the Holy Ghost until I was 14. But I remember sitting in church and hearing preachers preach, amen, heaven down and hell hot. And the conviction of the Lord was so strong in the place. The fear of God was so strong. I remember being just a child and thinking to myself as I would turn around in my pew and just say, God, just let me feel you. Fearing that God's presence was leaving me and that God wasn't going to deal with me anymore. And it was just the simple feeling of God, that God was still dealing with me, that gave me hope and that gave me faith in the future. I wasn't ready to live for God at that particular time, but thank God when that time came, there was a God that was ready to meet me at the altars. Praise God. Praise God. Such testimonies that we have today are able to help others to understand their times in life. And not just to understand their times in life, but to give them the hope as well. That there is a promise that is made unto every one of us. And his promise is true and right. Praise God. And if we can't believe him in that, then we can't believe him for anything. And I'm so thankful that I know him. Praise God. And I have, amen, I have benefited from those promise, from those promises. But if you've been in church for any length of time, there have been other promises that have been made to you. There have been promises that you have felt that God gave to you. Inspirations, amen, that we would call it. There have been promises that have been made that have come through the preaching of the Word of God, that when it came forth, you knew that God was speaking to you. Amen. Even though that there may have been many others that were there, you knew at that moment and that time that God was talking to you. Maybe you picked up your little journal and wrote it in there and dated it and said, on this day, I feel like God spoke to me and God said thus and thus. Praise God. Maybe you have been one that in prayer that God would deal with you and give you a promise, and you would hold on to that. Maybe you were in church somewhere, and the man of God looked at you and said something to you and promised that something was going to happen. And I'm not interested in getting into human frailty and men that would miss it and such. I'm not into, but there has got to be the witness of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. If some man gets up now you've got to weigh it out, and you've got to accept the words of God, the promises of God. Amen. But if it sounds like it's in far off left field and such, you know what? You need to understand that. Amen. Because just as much as God wants to speak, the devil wants to speak as well. Why? To destroy your faith. To destroy your faith. Amen. But I just want to say that when God speaks, there's going to be that gentle witness of the Spirit that's going to be there. There's going to be the connection that is in the heart that is there. Amen. You're going to know it. And you've got to take these things and you've got to get a hold of them. Amen. As former Brother Westberg would say, take a bulldog grip on it. Amen. Take lockjaw and die. Amen. You've just got to believe that God has given you that promise, and you've got to live every day as if that promise was going to come to pass today. Amen. God gives promises to the church. Amen. Through gifts of the Spirit, whether it's tongues and interpretations, whether it's through the preaching of the Word of God, or whether it's through the gift of prophecy, God would give promises unto the church. Amen. And it is imperative that we get a hold to these promises and hold fast to them and believe them. Why? Amen. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when there is no faith, I'll tell you that the devil's in the barnyard. Amen. The devil's in the chicken coop. When there is no faith, stirring up trouble. Amen. You show me a church that has no faith, and I'll show you a church that's dying. Amen. Faith is life unto the church. Faith is that connection. Amen. That is there. You take faith out, you're taking the heart out. Amen. Praise God. You've got to have faith inside of all of this. When you come to church, you're believing that God is going to talk to you. God is going to help you. God is going to strengthen you. That's an element of faith. Otherwise, why would you ever come? Amen. And you say, well, I'm just believing that God's going to save me. Well, that's part of faith too. Amen. Praise God. And maybe you don't believe that God can help you, and maybe you don't believe that God is going to strengthen you, but you do believe that God can save you. I'm telling you tonight, just continue to believe. Amen. And let that faith grow strong. Amen. And sooner or later, you're going to understand that God is doing more and is well able to do more than just save you. God's able to help you. God's able to keep you. God's able to strengthen you. God's able to lead you. God's able to guide you. Why? Because He loves you. He cares for you. Amen. He died for you. Praise God. Time rocks on. Days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. Months turn into years. Years into decades. We won't talk about centuries. I think we're past Noah's generation. But it's easy to lose the faith because that you're not patient. I don't understand everything about God. I don't understand why He does what He does. I preached a few weeks ago about difficult theology. And I would say that Mary and Martha had faith that God was able to save Lazarus. And because that He didn't, amen, then their faith was hindered. And Jesus came and Jesus said, it had to be like this. I'm using my own words. But he said it had to be like this. He told his disciples. His disciples said, well, if he's only asleep, who cares? I mean, he's going to wake up. And Jesus said, no, he's dead. That was kind of a little bit of a shocker. And so they stepped back and the Lord said, but this had to happen so that the Son of Man could receive the glory. And we know that that's exactly what happened. And I have preached several times since then that God has ministered even to my spirit and the things that I don't understand. I preached last Tuesday night at a church in Louisiana. I preached on a different topic, but I opened up it's not exactly insecurities and it's not exactly vulnerability. It's somewhere in the middle of all of that. If you can find a good word for that, if Henry was here, he could give it to me. But it's just what the man of God goes through and the things that he feels so insecure about. You can't imagine, and maybe you can imagine to a degree, how that the man of God has got to feel when he can't answer your questions. I'm not God. I don't have all answers. So, well, you're hooked up with him. You ought to have all the answers. I wished it was that easy. But when you have a person that come to you and talking to you about heart problems, I'm not a cardiologist. I'm a preacher. I've had people come to me and talk to me about their weight and such, expecting an answer. I'm not a dietitian. I'm a preacher. I've had people come talk to me about all kinds of different dilemmas. And I've had to think to myself, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a financial expert. I just got called to preach. Somewhere or another, I missed the Superman cape. But you know, God chose through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But it's not just salvation. It's sparking your faith. It's causing you to continue to believe. It's causing you to continue to grow in Him and to delight yourself in Him, to make sure that I have the right spirit when I come before you, so that you don't see me depressed, despondent, and despaired. You say, you get that away? Typically every day and sometimes twice on Sunday. No, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. But I'm just as human as everybody else is. And when you can get upset about life, I can get upset about life. And so what I'm saying is, I'm not exempt from feeling the pressure of the necessity to have patience. And there's things that I want. And as the old little hymn book song with kids would say, you know, I needed it right now. I really needed it yesterday. But since yesterday is already gone, I'll take it right now. Praise God. How many evangelists have come through and have said, I feel revival in this place. Amen. There's two ways to respond to that. You can say, well, stick around for a couple of months and see what you feel then. Or you can say, I believe that. I have faith in that. And I'm going to have patience for that. Tongues and interpretation came long before I ever got here. Amen. That God was going to give revival. Amen. But days turned to weeks. Weeks turned to months. Months turned to years. Amen. And we look around and we say, well, it really hasn't come. How are you measuring revival? Amen. We don't measure in God's in God's world. God measures things out differently, and God's not hurried by anything. Amen. But God knows what he's doing, and all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And God's just meticulously putting one piece in place and another piece in place. And when you and I are not able to see that, we have a tendency to lose faith because our patience has ebbed out. But God is saying, you have need of patience. You have need of patience. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. God's saying, you're praying like you need to pray. You're witnessing like you need to witness. You're teaching Bible studies like you need to teach. You're being faithful like you need to be faithful. But I'm telling you, you're just going to have to be patient. How long do I have to be patient, God? And God says, until the promise comes, you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise.
Yes, 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 yes.
Praise God. Praise God. Let me just be human. Imagine that. For a little while. You know, I would love to believe that we would already be in a different building. You know, I love to say, you know, it's just that easy that all of a sudden when we're ready to get another building, that another building is ready, and we just possess it and just walk right over into it, and God's going to give it to us. And, you know, somebody says, well, how are we going to pay for it? It's like, you know, we all say the same thing, faith. Amen. God's going to take it. God will give it to us. God will pay for it. God will do it. God will work it all out. Amen. And God is. God is working all things together. God is working it all out. Amen. God's doing it. God's doing exceeding abundantly. And so I take a look at these things, and I'm like, okay, you know, we've got a problem that a lot of churches don't have. There are churches out there that need buildings, and there's buildings everywhere to have, but they don't have two pennies to rub together. And so they can't get a building. And then, you know, the preacher's preaching last Sunday night there in Texas, and he's preaching away, and he says, you know, he said, I remember, he said, we were in such a need for a building. He said, we didn't have a whole lot of people, and we didn't have a whole lot of things, and he said, but you know, we needed a new building. We was at that place that we needed a new building. He said, all we have is just something real small, and we had outgrown it, and he said, but we just didn't have any money. We couldn't afford anything, and we had looked at a little bit of everything. He said, finally, somebody called my dad and said, you know that property that's down the street over there, such place, blah, blah, blah. And he said, yeah, I do. He said, you know what? They're not doing anything with that property. You ought to just give them a call and see if they'd be willing to sell it to you and offer them a price. And so he thought, well, you know what? That's a great idea, except for I don't have any money. And so he called them, and, you know, he got to looking over there, and he found out, you know, it was 5 acres, and on that 5 acres, they had 5 metal buildings. And so he called them up, and he said, hey, he said, you know, this is Pastor such and such, such and such church. And he said, I'm just wondering, you know, you've got that property outside of town, 5 acres over there and such. I'm just wondering if you might be interested in selling it. And the man said, well, you know what? I might be interested in selling it. What are you going to give me for it? And the pastor thought to himself, well, here we go. I'm fixed to make a fool of myself. He said he knew what he could afford on a monthly basis. And so he said, you know, that 5 acres, 5 big metal buildings and stuff like that's worth a ton of money. I don't have anything. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll give you $250,000 for it. Man said, let me think about it. I'll call you back. Called him back a few hours later and said, I'll take it. And today they got a big thriving church on that. They're growing and everything is just going great and stuff, you know, and so, you know, we've got this deal, you know, and think of all these people that I've got other friends and they're like, man, I need a building and don't have any money to do it and such. And then I'm on the other hand, I'm like, you know, we've had fundraisers, we've had envelopes on the wall twice, we've had other things happen and God's blessed us and God's provided and stuff and said, you know what, we got some money, we could put money down, we could do whatever, pay for whatever, say, but you know what, said, but there's no building. Just no building. And you don't know how many times I've driven up every little street that I could possibly dream of and think of in Andover. I've driven up north. I've driven south. I've driven west. I've driven east. I've all over the place. Just, amen, looking for everything. I've had places that all of a sudden just popped out to me. And I thought to myself, driving by one building, I was like, and I just did a double look. I said, oh, you know what? That needs to be our church right there. That needs to be our church. Whipped around, went back in the parking lot and sat there and looked at it. I'm like, oh yeah, I can see it. I can see it. This needs to be our church. Called the realtor and said, find out if they're willing to sell. And so she called me back and she said, yeah, he's willing to sell. He'll sell. I was like, great. What does he want? He said, 9 million. That's what I thought too. Number one, it ain't even worth 9 million. Like, yeah. But you know what? God's still working things out. God's still working it out. God's still doing it. And we still gotta have faith. And we still gotta believe. And we still gotta have confidence. And God's doing it. And I'm just telling you, there are all kinds of things that have popped into my mind. I've got ideas. I've got dreams. I've got things that we're gonna do. I'm already implementing things. I'm putting things together. I'm making phone calls. I called the architect the other day. There's an architect in Andover that I know and he's connected to anything, everything. Butler County, Sedgwick County, it doesn't matter. He's connected. He's connected to them all. And, I'm El Dorado, Tawanda, Augusta, Leon, you name it. You name it. Wichita, Andover, Derby, Whitewater, everything. He knows every little piece of property. He was talking me a property. I told him, Matt, I said, that's 10 miles down a dirt road. I can't do that, you know. And I told him what I was looking for and such like that. And he told me, he said, well, Rev, he said, let me tell it to you like this. He said, if you happen to get a building, you'll know it was God because there ain't any of these in Andover. Well, that just makes you want to do a double backflip and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God, isn't it? You want to go outside and kick the can. But if I come into this place and with a despondent spirit kicking a can, hey man, you're going to have a despondent spirit kicking the can. So I just continue to believe, waiting every day. You know, my phone dings, whatever. I'm thinking, wow, you know what? Maybe that's the realtor. You know, phone call comes in, you know, I don't know. A number shows up on my phone that I don't recognize. Oh, maybe this is it. Maybe that's what you got to have. You got to have faith and you got to have patience that when somebody says there's nothing available, you say, oh yeah, there is. God said there was. God's going to do it. I'm just going to have patience. It's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Amen. And there may not be anything at this moment in time, but it may be the next hour or tomorrow. And you just know, you've got to have that same feeling and that same mentality with the promises that God has made to you. You cannot be slack concerning these promises and back off of them. If God said he's going to do something, you need to hold to that. And you say, well, what if it never happens? I say, what if it does happen? I could tell you numerous people throughout the Bible. The book of Hebrews gives numerous people that they never received the promise. Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And the Bible said specifically, and those that never got the promise. Said, well then, why was a promise ever made? It was made to the next generation or to the following generation or something. But they continued to believe and continued to walk by faith through it all. And it was pleasing unto God. And so he specifically says, don't be weary in well doing. That word weary is a little bit different than what you and I would think. Because we would think about that word weary and say, don't be weary. In other words, don't get tired. Don't give up. Don't be sleepy about it. But that word weary simply means the lack of courage, or to lose heart, or to be faint-hearted. It has nothing to do with your energy level. It just simply means that you give up believing. It simply means that you lack the courage to go forward. You lose the heart to continue on, or you become faint-hearted. Amen. Instead of going forth, you decide to just sit down and just take it. And the devil is trying to sell it to you. Hook, line, and sinker. God's not going to come through. And you know what happens? That reflects in your worship. God's not going to do that for you. And that reflects in your faithfulness. God's not going to be what you think he's going to be. And that reflects in your prayer life. Amen. You don't pray like you used to. You don't worship like you used to. You're not gung-ho like you used to. When you first got the Holy Ghost, you couldn't wait for church. You was ready to charge hell with a water pistol. And then all of a sudden, a little bit of time ebbs on, and things don't go the way that you think that they ought to go. And time life is being a little bit harder and a little more cruel than you thought that it should have. And the rose bushes were sharp, and they pricked your finger, and it hurts. Amen. And everything is not so beautiful. And now you don't worship like you used to worship. You say, no, I just got old. No, it has nothing to do, amen, with your energy level. It's the lack of courage. It's the faint-heartedness. Amen. It's just the desire, the thing, and the ability, or the losing the heart of it. That you're just your heart. It's just not it. I'm telling you, child of God, you got to pick it back up. You got to put it back in proper perspective. You got to keep walking the void, the walk of faith. Amen. Walking by faith and not by sight. You got to keep the courage. You got to keep your heart in it. And you got to say, if it didn't happen this hour, it can happen next hour. And if it didn't happen today, I'm expecting it to happen tomorrow. I've got the faith, and I'm going to keep the patience in and through it all. Let's stand. Many people's lack of worship has nothing to do with energy level. And some people would say, well, I beg to differ. And notice I did not say all. I said many. Many people's lack of worship has nothing to do with their energy level. It has to do with their faith and their patience. Praise God.
Come on.
You know how I know? Because when you're having a good day in the Lord, you're a completely different person. And you know what? I can fall into that same category. When I'm struggling and I'm going through hell, I can fall into that same category. But somewhere or another, you got to encourage yourself. Somewhere or another, you got to get beyond all of that. And you got to say, okay, you know what? This day has been rough. The news hasn't been good. Everything seems to be going wrong. But you've got to take this mentality. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I'm going to forget what's happening today. I'm going to forget what's happening in life. I'm going to forget what's going on, amen, on the job. I'm going to forget what's happening over here, what's happening over here. Because all of these things does not diminish God. And God has been good. Praise God. Praise God. It's the truth. It's the truth. You see people come in and they start worshiping. You're thinking to yourself, they must have got a raise. And you're not so surprised when they come up to you. Guess what, Pastor? I got a raise. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, you come in and they're all praying. They're worshiping. They're fired up. And you're thinking something good happened in their life. You know what happened? One of those promises came through. And all of a sudden, they're a different person. Praise God. I am telling you that when you lose the faith and you don't have the patience that you need to have, it affects who you are spiritually. Amen. And that's why you cannot be weary in well-doing. Well-doing is you just keep putting one foot in front of the other foot. Well-doing is you keep your heart, mind, and soul involved in it. Well-doing is, in spite of all of my problems, in spite of this, in spite of that, I'm still going to go and I'm going to worship the Lord. It's not easy. It's never easy. If it was easy, the Boy Scouts could do it. Amen. But it's not. It's not easy. This is life. And life is cruel. Life is harsh. And the devil is worse than all of that. Amen. And he's got thousands of imps that he puts on you. Amen. But you got a God that's greater. And you come in, you're just like, God, you made me a promise. You made me a promise. And I'm going to hold to it. And I'm going to believe that you're going to keep that. And you're going to work through that. And I'm going to work through that. And someplace, some point in time, amen, your promise is going to come through. And that's what the book of Hebrews chapter number 10 said. Amen. You have need of patience in that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Before that, he said, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. You got to have confidence. You got to have faith. And you got to keep the patience in all of it. Amen. And sometime God's going to come through. Amen. I just want you to know that I'm looking forward to giving you the report. Hey, I got a phone call the other day. And Brother Greg and Brother Charlie and Brother Wirtz and I, we went down and we looked at a building and we think it's the right one. I can't wait to reach up, amen, to get my phone and begin to call people and say, I want to talk to you about what the Lord has done. I want to tell you how God did it. Amen. God's going to do it. Amen. I believe in it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Amen. Come on, church. We just got to keep on keeping on. And until it happens, we're going to reach Augusta. We're going to do everything that we can. Amen. But when God is ready, woo, somebody that never even thought about selling is going to wake up one morning and say, you know what? I think I'm going to sell. Praise God, and we're going to be there. Hallelujah. Can we worship the Lord here tonight? Oh, let's worship the Lord here tonight. Come on, let's take a few minutes. Amen. I want you to think about those promises that God has made you. I want you to think about the words that God has given you. I want you to think about, amen, what God has done for you. Amen. And even though some things may not have come to pass yet, I want you to just believe it. I want you to say, God, help me to have the faith just like I did the first day. When the news, when the promise first came, I want to get back to that level. I want to make sure that I'm pleasing you with faith. And I want to keep the patience in it. I'm not going to be weary in well-doing. I'm not going to lose heart in this. I'm not going to lose confidence in this. I'm not going to lose courage in this. I'm not going to be faint-hearted in this. I'm going to continue to believe knowing your word is true and it shall come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. Let's love him. Let's love him. Let's love him today. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Come on, you're feeling that fire begin to burn. You're feeling that flame begin to grow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow on it for a little while. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You're beginning to think, could it be? Is it possible? Can it be? I'm here to tell you that nothing shall be impossible when the Lord is involved. It's not by might nor by power, but it is by His Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. With God, we can do all things. Praise God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, God may have promised you healing and you may not feel healed yet, but you just keep on believing. Your promise is going to come to pass. Oh, Oh yeah, when I came here over 5 years ago, I believe that the Lord spoke to me and said that a lot of our revival was going to come through signs, miracles, and wonders. Amen. And I'm looking back on it and saying, where's all the miracles? Where's all the wonders? But I'm still believing it's going to happen. And what better place for it to happen than in the saints of God? We don't have to go find sinners that need a miracle. We got miracles that are needed here today. And God is going to do it. When is he going to do it? I don't know, but I'm going to believe. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. Amen. It could be this weekend. It could be Friday night. Oh, but I still believe he's going to do it.